If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of James, chapter number 3. In my private devotions, not necessarily studies, this passage, I just couldn't get away from it, and so I spent some time with it, and it's the closest thing to my heart, so I wanted to share it to you tonight. I want to talk to you about the stewardship for loose lips. The stewardship for loose lips. And, of course, it's the passage that you're very familiar with regards to our tongue. You may, there's another title I thought about was how to manage our mouths. But what happened when I was reading the passage that I'm going to share with you tonight, I just noticed how the intent was to really call the believer to a position in their life where they would try to control, try to manage, try to be careful, understand the incredible power of our words and of our tongue. The things that we say have lasting impact on the lives of people, for good or for evil. And so everything that God gives you, you're to be a steward over. You're to be a good manager over. Okay, and so we should be good stewards over our health and good stewards over your wealth and good stewards over the spiritual gift that God gives you or the ministry that you have. And certainly the ability to speak, share your thoughts, teach, help, encourage others is a privilege. And so we should manage that well. So we can do as Paul said, only speak those things that edify those that hear. And so there's a powerful lesson here, and I hope I can convey it to you like I'd hope. But let's begin in chapter 3 and verse 1 of the book of James. And the first thing you have is a warning to those that would want to speak in terms of teaching God's word. People in the pulpit or the teaching lectern or whatever. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, when you read through the passage, you understand that this is going to be in connection to how we talk and the things that we say. And so there's actually a warning here to those that would try to teach God's word. Because all of the things that we say in terms of how we interpret God's word will endure a stricter judgment than anyone else. For example, the New Living Translation handles that verse this way. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged by God with greater strictness. And so here is a caution, a warning to those that teach the word to be very, very careful, because the words that are used in conjunction with interpreting God's word undergo a stricter examination. Now, I wish I had understood this better when I first came to Christ, because I listened to a lot of teaching that today I clearly reject as being expositionally sound. I don't think, I think a lot of teaching that I heard as a very young Christian, I don't necessarily agree with today. Not all of it, but some of it, a good bit of it. And some of it, when a preacher or a teacher, when they teach something, it can, people take that as the gospel sometimes without doing any kind of study on their own. And what happens is if you try to take the scriptures and manipulate the conscience of other people with your own preferences, you can do a lot of damage, a lot of harm. And I know if Cindy was here, she'd tell you that we were subjected to some teaching that centered so much on external things and things that aren't really important when you really look at the scripture. And, you know, Jesus warned the Pharisees. He says, you put people under the kind of a burden that you yourself are not able to carry. using the traditions of men and equating those traditions as being equal to the Word of God. Very, very dangerous. And so, not many of you, he says, should become teachers in the church, clearly because those words will receive a stricter condemnation. And when that happens, you're going to be, there'll be a loss of reward. Now, James 3, verses 3 through 13, kind of enlarge upon this. That sets the stage for what he's going to have to say now about the stewardship of our mouths or our lips. Notice he says, beginning with verse 3. I love the book of James for lots of reasons, but one reason, he loves to illustrate. And you'll notice he uses several illustrations in this passage to emphasize the point that he has just made. He says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, here's more illustration, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of those things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Another illustration. Therefore we bless God, even the Father. Therefore we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man among you and endued with knowledge among you? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? I'm sorry. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. And so, you see my point where he, all of these illustrations about the ship and about the animals and all of these things that can be mastered and controlled, but yet the tongue is the greatest challenge. Fanny Crosby was the author of a number of wonderful hymns. I think I read one time where she had written, I'm not certain about how many, but it was up in the thousands of songs. Of course, Blessed Be Assurance and To God Be the Glory, and many others that are still sung today. But someone asked her how she was able to maintain such a close walk with God for so many years. She said when she was early in her life, when she'd come to Christ, she set out to do three things. She prayed daily that God would allow her to bring three things under God's government, you know, control. She said, I want to control my appetite, my temper, and my tongue. She said, Lord, help me control appetite, temper, and my tongue. Now, can you think of three things that are any harder to control than those three things in our lives? Our appetites, our temper, and our tongue. But she believed that if she could do that, if those three areas of her life were brought under the government of God, she believed she could maintain and sustain that close walk with God, and God would continue to speak to her. And as I said, what a profound impact she's had on the church with many, many beautiful hymns. So she understood that our tongue needed to be brought under stewardship. It needed to be managed. It was something that needed to be prayed about. It needed to be considered. And we should not take it lightly, particularly when we deal in things concerning the scriptures. as I read to you verse 1. So what I want to do is break this down with three primary thoughts using some of the illustrations that James gave us. First of all, in terms of the power of the tongue, it has the power to direct. And for that, he talks about the bit and the rudder. Now, again, reading the first three verses there using the modern translation, he says, we can make a large horse turn around and go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. There's the bit. I was driving somewhere on a kind of a back road not long ago, and these three beautiful horses, to me, one of those pretty things to look at is a horse when they're running. I just think it's a fascinating animal. I know some of you have horses, but to watch a horse run and I just think it's just a beautiful thing. And they're such powerful animals, creatures. Even engines today, we use the term, how many horsepower? You know, how much horsepower does it have? And so James is saying, as large as the horse is, as powerful as the horse is, strong as the horse is, you can tame that horse. You can direct that horse. You can make that horse go this way or that way. You can make it back up. You can make it go forward. You can make it stop. He said, it is easier to manage this humongous animal. It's very, very strong. It has a will of its own. It's easier to manage that animal than it is to manage your tongue. He said, you can put a small bit in its mouth. And that bit, I suppose, and I'm not a horse guy. I think they're beautiful, but I don't have one. And I don't know a lot about them, but Milton, I know you have some horses or a horse. The bit, I suppose, presses down on the tongue or the mouth or whatever, and that when once that's engaged, you pretty much have brought this big animal under your control, and it's going to do your will by controlling its tongue. You see, and if you can get the horse to obey when its tongue is brought under the control of its owner, it's going to be a lot more productive. It's going to go where it should go. It's not going to go where it should not go. And it's going to be a safe ride for whoever's is in the saddle. Now, you can do that with a big horse. Hard to do it with a man. That's how tough it is. That's why Fanny Crosby had to pray about it every day. Now, he tells us this, not only the bit, but notice the rudder. What about those big ships that fight those big waves? Can you imagine being out on a ship, even particularly now with the hurricanes and this season, and these massive ships are having to navigate in water when the wind's sometimes contrary and sometimes the waves are contrary, and that thing weighs thousands and thousands of tons, actually. But it's controlled by a rudder. And that massive vessel can navigate through difficult water by the use of a rudder, a tiny rudder. It's easier, James is saying, to control the horse and the ship than it is to control your tongue, because the tongue has the power to direct you. It can direct the horse, it can direct the ship, and your words tell a lot about the direction of your life. If you use your words for good, then your direction of your life is probably, you're probably walking pretty close to the Lord. But if you use your words for evil, that says a lot about the direction of your life. Think about that. Think about how many sins that can be committed with the tongue. You can slander with the tongue. You can lie with the tongue. You can curse with the tongue. You can gossip with the tongue. It can be the greatest sin of all, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, the unforgivable, unpardonable sin, is committed with a tongue. And so when you hear someone speak, you can tell a lot about what they love. You can tell a lot about the direction of their life, what's important to them. So the tongue has a power to direct us. tongue really, I think, reveals the direction of our life. You can listen to someone talk long enough and you can find out if how much faith they have. They're always complaining or always fussing about something. Others may be always praising God. Then you can certainly tell that they're in a good place. But this is a daily battle. Proverbs 18:21 says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can use your words to encourage people, or you can use your words to discourage people. You can use your words to bring hope and healing to people that are wounded, or you can use those words to cut and emotionally bleed the people that you're talking to. The tongue has incredible power. Managing that, becoming a good steward of your tongue is very, very important. It has the power to direct. You know, sometimes we've seen leaders in our country and throughout the years when the nation may be in a volatile situation, a difficult situation, and they may have just the right speech for the hour, just the right word to say that can help bring some hope to a nation, help bring some healing to a nation. That's the incredible power of the tongue. And Solomon said that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. It has tremendous value. And you can't overstate the value of a word rightly spoken. It has the power to direct. Number two, James reminds us that the tongue not only directs us, as it directs, you know, a horse directs, is directed by the tongue, and then the ship by the rudder. But then the tongue can destroy. There's the power to destroy. And he gives the illustration of the fire and the animal. Notice this. He talks about how a fire can become a massive fire, a forest fire, even though it was only initially a tiny spark. You know, remember in King James it says, "Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles." Now here he says in the NLT, he says, "So also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction. For it is set on fire of hell itself." And so it has the power to destroy. People's lives can be destroyed by the unholy, unbridled, unrestrained use of the tongue. What a terrible thing. We should really be a good steward over loose lips, because you can't take your words back. You know, you can't unscramble the egg, and you can't put the words back in your mouth once they're spoken. And once they're spoken and once they're out there, they have incredible power for good or evil. In this case, James warns that they can be very destructive, much like a terrible wildfire, how it can burn down the woods. In Psalm 141, verses 3 and 4, he says this: "Set a watch, O Lord," David says, "before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties." In other words, watch my lips, Lord, because if I start talking when I shouldn't be talking, then I'm gonna go down the wrong path. I'm gonna do more damage than I do good. And now for the Ephesians text here. I just love this verse here. This would be a verse, you could use this as a life text to help do what Fanny Crosby said she prayed about doing, that God would give her the temperance to always control her tongue. Here is a good verse to write on the table stones of your heart. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, your goal would be to speak those things that help build up rather than those things that tear down. Anything else is considered corrupt communication. Don't let it proceed out of your mouth. It has the power to destroy. Like a fire that gets out of control, that can destroy a forest. And then he mentions those animals. They can be destroyed. People can tame all kinds of animals. And here we have birds and reptiles and fish. But no one can tame the tongue. It is an uncontrollable evil full of deadly poison. Just like the forest fire starts with a tiny little spark. Think of the poison that can be injected into people from a tiny little creature. A couple of years ago, I was sick, very, very sick. And I could not get any energy. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was just like extremely fatigued all the time and just felt sick, and I couldn't imagine what the problem was. And so finally going to the doctor, and they did some blood work, and they determined that I had Rocky Mountain fever. And they said the Rocky Mountain fever was a something that happened when I was out working in the yard. Evidently, I was bitten by very, very small. I had forgotten it. One day, I said, I wasn't bitten. Son, I said, oh, yeah, don't you remember? We went on vacation. And you said, what's that on my arm? And it was swelled up, and you went and got something from the pharmacist to try to treat it externally. I said, oh, yeah, I forgot. Well, it wasn't long after that, the effects of that, I remembered. Okay, that was a very, very small, small little creature. I could barely remember it happening. But it injected poison into my body that had me sick for the longest time. Tony Bowling had a worse case of it than I ever had. It like killed him. Stayed in the hospital for the longest time. Had something very, very similar. I don't know if it was Rocky Mountain, but it was something very close to it, Randy. I can't remember exactly what it was, but you guys remembered. I know you helped pray for him, and he was, we didn't even know if he's ever going to walk again. It was a terrible thing. But such a tiny little bite. What he's warning here is just like that tiny spark burned the woods down, and just like that little bitty creature injected enough poison to nearly kill an otherwise strong man, that's what your tongue can do if it gets loose and it's not being used to minister grace to the hearers. It's got that power. You can destroy this church with your tongue. You can destroy a person's life with your tongue. You can destroy your own marriage with your tongue. You can break up friendships with your tongue. You can do a lot of bad with that tongue, as can I. But you can do a lot of good with it, too, if we learn to do as James says. Hey, wait a minute. Or Paul said, put a watch on those lips and try to speak those things that minister grace to the hearers. We need to be better stewards of our lips. We need to be better managers of our mouths, you know, because people remember a lot of times what we say. Number three, and finally, James warns us about the tongue, saying that your tongue is a very small member, but it has the power to direct. It has the power to destroy. And he uses those illustrations. But now he reminds us that it has the power to delight. And I'm thankful for that. And he gives us the illustration of the fountain and the tree. You see, all these illustrations, I just love the way he presents this, you know. And so the text before us, very simple here. He says, sometimes that tongue praises our Lord and Father. Sometimes it breaks out into curses against those who have been made in the image of God. Now, there's a terrible contradiction. But we know he's right. You know, nobody's going to argue with it's right. Not just, I mean, it's the Word of God, and that's enough. But I think even honest people can see how this can happen on a far too regular basis. You can be in church on Sunday and praising God. You can be in the parking lot, you know, maybe not using profanity, but speaking evil of someone. Like Frank's sermons are too long, or can you believe it took that long? See what I'm saying? I mean, praise Jesus. I just love that good preaching. Now that's enough. It's time to go. See, we can do lots of things with our tongue. We can flip-flop real quick with our tongues. So we understand all of us have experienced moments like this where we're praising God one minute and we're breaking out into saying something destructive the very next minute against our brothers or our sisters, those people that are made in the image of God. And he puts that in there to show us just what a tremendous contradiction that is. And so back to the illustration of the fountain and tree. Next verse says this. So, blessing and cursing pouring out of the same mouth. Now, that's said facetiously because it's actually, in terms of a fountain, it's either fresh or it's bad. It's not both, you know. Just a little bit of this can pollute the whole water. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. And then he says this. Does a spring of water bubble out of with both fresh and bitter water? And of course, that's rhetorical. The answer is no. You know, it's not fresh and not bitter. It's either bitter or it's fresh. Okay? What about that tree? Can you pick olives from a fig tree or figs from a grapevine? Answer, no, of course not. No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty pool. Now he's, as my preacher used to say, shooting in the hole where the big game's at. He's telling us where the real problem is. It's not here, it's down in here, somewhere was it 16 inches below the collarbone? Is that what they say? It's somewhere in here. The source, the thing, the water, the well's polluted because something at the source. There's a rat in the well or something, you know. The heart's bad. I mean, you know, something, the person that's being a contradiction, praising one minute and fussing the next minute, or they're a contradiction because something's broken on the inside. The fountain of the tree illustrates that. But it does have the power to delight. I think the last verse. The words of a man's mouth. This is from Proverbs 18:4. Wouldn't you like for this to be said about you? How would you like this to be your legacy? You know, the preacher's eulogizing your life. And this is what they decided to say about you. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. When that person spoke, they spoke with depth and wisdom, but it flowed out of them because it was a result of their connection to God Himself. To me, that's a wonderful, wonderful epitaph for any of us. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Your words can direct, or they can destroy, or they can delight. Not just people, but God Himself. The Bible said God loves the praise of His people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. For know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to every single generation. That's what should flow out of the child of God. Being a steward over our lips. It's the challenge of a lifetime. But I think the rewards are great. A failure to do it, I think, is a big contradiction in our lives. With that said, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you for your word that never fails to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Help us to hide it in our hearts so that we might not sin against you. Thank you for each person, Lord, that has listened today and this evening, and I pray that something was said to encourage them. And Lord, help us, as the psalmist said, to put a watch out over the door of our lips so that when we do open our mouths, we remember the words of Paul, let's not let corrupt communication proceed out, but those things that minister grace to those that will hear it. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.